Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Growing up in South Dakota, we had good neighbors, really good neighbors. I remember especially the Hurlburts. They lived right behind us. Our backyards butted up against each other. There's a semi-permeable fence, just some trees that we could walk back and forth. And I was practically family to their family and vice versa. You know, maybe the first time in the day you might knock to go in, but after that you just went in and out all the time. It's not like that anymore, is it? But there were some downsides to being this close together with the Hurlburts. For example, I got to see all the punishments that their children received. I got all the perks as being one of the kids, but none of the punishments. And I had to witness some of their punishments when they misbehaved. By the way, their family was Catholic and we were Lutheran, but we got along just fine. Particularly, though, I have in mind when one of them swore, this would have been Dan or Tom, they were roughly my age, when one of them swore or said a bad word, Mrs. Hurlburt threatened. She would say, "I'm going to wash out your mouth with soap." Well, Dan ignored the warning and got caught swearing. And two things. I had to watch as Mrs. Hurlburt washed Dan's mouth out with soap. And it was not a pretty sight. And secondly, I knew that my parents had an agreement with the neighbors, something along the lines of, "Do unto others as you would do unto your own children." So I was motivated not to swear, at least in front of Mrs. Hurlburt. Then as I was getting older, I was being taught to take more responsibility for my own actions. Self-discipline was a big deal in the 80s and the 90s. You might remember that. And I was surrounded by temptations growing up, people who swore a lot. And I caught myself doing the same, swearing. And sure enough, I felt guilty for swearing. I knew it was wrong, even when Mrs. Hurlburt wasn't there to catch it. And being more responsible for my actions, I found myself staring at a bar of soap in the bathroom one day, waiting to get on with my day and wanting to get moving. I had a choice to make. Ignore the sin and sear my conscience, or try to wash my sins away. My mouth was watering in a bad way just thinking about it. So, in went that antibacterial bad boy, and I held it for what seemed like 3 seconds, which is probably more like 3.3 nanoseconds. And I knew, wherever she was that day, Mrs. Hurlburt was smiling. And some Catholic nuns were probably singing, "There's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents," right? Jesus said in our text, "If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and throw it away." Oh boy. You'll notice I still have my two eyes. When I read that in the text as a young boy, I said to myself, I tried the Catholic way. I think now I'm going to go with the Lutheran way. After all, Jesus' 12 disciples still had their two eyes. But it begs the question, how seriously are we to take Jesus' words, his teaching, to be responsible for our sin and taking matters into our own hands? Should we be plucking out our eyes, cutting off our hands? Now, before you answer, remember something from last week, all you were here listening to the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, whoever relaxes these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. So let's not relax the commandments of Yahweh. Let's not relax what Jesus is saying here in the gospel today. We should learn from these words that sin is serious business. And it is better to go into heaven blind or maimed than to go into hell. But we would be mistaken to think that our actions of plucking or cutting or washing our mouths out with soap fixes the problem for something that we can't fix for good. For I still swore after that soap episode. And if I plucked out one eye because of sin soon after, I'd have to pluck out the other eye. And why stop there, right? As Peter said to Jesus, who was washing his feet at the moment, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus replied, a person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. That's the key. How does one wash all over in order to fix the problem of sin? So that you only need to come back and wash your feet and be reminded how you are entirely clean. I think we just witnessed it here this morning, didn't we? Baptism for the remission of sins. Jesus did that washing today just as he did that washing of Peter with his feet. Same Lord. He's also showing us our ongoing need for his washing. In other words, don't just come and have this done once and then think you never need to come back, that you're fine, you've been forgiven for life there, you don't need to do anything else. Well, even the baptized need to come back to church, back to hear from Jesus, not to be rebaptized, but rather to hear from his word that you are already clean. This is except for your feet. And you come back and you hear absolution from the pastor and receive the Lord's Supper and you get your feet washed, so to speak. You get your sins clean once again to remind you who you are. You are God's child. You don't have to be born again. You can be born again through baptism, but after that, you're alive to Christ, to God. Now you just need to wash your feet, not your whole body, to receive forgiveness through the Word, forgiveness through God's gifts here at the altar. That's like washing your feet again and again so we can stand on holy ground in earth as it is in heaven and offer worship that is acceptable to God, to receive His eternal blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation. For wherever there is forgiveness of sins, there's also life and salvation. Then as we go on in the faith and we grow in it, we grow up in the Word, we receive Jesus' body at the Lord's table as a gift. And His body is a better body. His eye is a better eye than our eye, so we need not pluck it out. His hand is a better hand than our right hand. He is the righteous one. We are not. And we receive His body as a gift, so we need not cut it off. His heart becomes our heart so that we have a clean one to cover all of our angry thoughts, our murderous intent, our lustful looks. Jesus gives His body as a substitute for our sin. And that's why He's telling us to go ahead and pluck out your sinful eye by faith, especially if you think it's more righteous or mostly righteous. Your sinful body will not get you into heaven. That's true. But don't put your trust there. And don't put it in the act of your own washing. Put your trust, rather, in the better body. Because of Jesus' cross, you have a better body. A sin-clean one. No longer bound by sin and death, you have Jesus' body. You have a better body. And because of Jesus' resurrection, you have the hope of eternal life, that you'll walk in the newness of life. You've got a better body because you've been baptized into Him. Jesus washes away all your sin. You've got a better body because you keep coming back to have Jesus wash your feet to remove and remind you in His Word and by His acts that you are entirely clean. It may not feel like it. You'll still feel guilty. You may have some staring contests with bars of soap. You may sometimes feel like you're not living up to Jesus' standard. And it's true, you're not. You'd have to wash that mouth out every day with soap. You'd have to pluck out that eye and the other one too, and why stop there? You'd have to go and make peace with everyone who's ever sinned against you, and you have sinned against them, and go and make peace. And that's entirely hard to be the perfect one, isn't it? So stop trusting in yourself. You can't. And become a disciple of Jesus. Not self-discipline, but Jesus' discipleship. Walk in His love and His mercy and hear His words. Walk with me and be like me because you are clean. Through me, you are clean. Mrs. Hurlburt's punishment for making Dan take that soap into his mouth probably helped Dan. He probably refrained from swearing, at least in front of Mom at the house. But punishment doesn't make us more righteous. It makes us more stealthy sinners. What does make us more righteous, actually completely righteous and clean for life, is not what Mom does, but what Christ does for you. As Peter declared in Acts 2:38, as we witness today, baptism now saves you. It's truly a remarkable gift. It's a miracle, a sacrament, and it's one that makes us all one, whether Lutheran, Roman Catholic, or Baptist. It makes us Christian. And it makes us listen a little closer to Jesus' teaching on the mountain. May God grant us hearing ears and believing hearts as our Lord and Master Jesus sits on the mountain and teaches us wonderful things. In Christ Jesus' name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith till life everlasting. Amen.